thank you, Father God. Oh, on behalf, oh God, of even the babes and the suckling that is in this place, we bless you. On behalf, oh God, of the infants, we bless you. Oh God, on behalf of the children and the youth, Lord, we exalt you. Oh, the rest of us say, thou, oh God, art worthy. You are worthy, oh God. Oh, we say, blessed be your name. Father, we thank you. Thank you for that which you are doing. Because we know it is finished. Strengthen the hearts, O God, of your people. Give us strength, O God, for this journey. Father God, we bless you. Let nothing matter, O God, but the fulfillment of your promise in our lives. Take our eyes away from every vanity, O God.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus. Amen.
Set our eyes upon you and upon your throne. We see you, O God, and nothing else. Oh, Father, we bless you. Strengthen the heart of your people, O God. We bless you. Oh, Father, we bless you. We say, let this praise, O God, ascend unto you. We ask that you receive it as an offering, O God.
Oh, yes.
We bless you, Father God. We exalt you. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Particularly today, we trust the Lord that the release will be given for ministry. And so, I just want to invite our brother Chidioke to just bless us, you know, for a few minutes, and then we begin the ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come to the dining table, to come to the king's table, to come to the Lord's supper. Lord, we come to drink, we come to be fed, come to receive seed of the Holy Ghost, and we pray that we will be like that woman in heaven that had received seed and was that was invested with the nature of the sun, with the moon under her feet, and with the crown and the government of the stars. Lord, we ask, Lord, that so you will judge darkness. Lord, so you will make war against all your enemies. And the prayer of this assembly and our agreement is that the arrows of the king will be sharp, will be devastating in the heart of the king's enemies. Let all that are opposed to the interest, to the dominion, to the government of our God, be like that young man Absalom. Lord, that every contrary spirit right now we lay hold of, we bind. Amen. We bind them and we put them in prison. Amen. Lord, that the very bad ones, we will cast them into the abyss. Amen. Oh yes, let the entrance of your word bring light. Amen. And deliverance. Lord, that the heavens will be opened. Lord, that you are ministered diversely, completely, thoroughly, that the man of God may be truly furnished into every good work. We ask, Lord, that you will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with their fire, O God. Let it burn every chaff. Let it burn carnality. Deal with every soul tie, every emotion. Lord, you will deal with the Jonathans. Lord, every attachment to this decaying and dying world, you will judge within us. That might set us free, O Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. As Brother Tugumba has said, it's going to be a very short meeting. I feel to do this. So that, because I believe that what is happening here is going to continue when we get home. So we need to establish the basis of what we're doing. Now, there are three temples. And we're going to talk about blood sacrifices and blood covenant. So it's good to understand the power of that and the way it works. Now, the first tabernacle is that of Moses and had three sections, and this whole section, everything here is heaven, represents the realm of heaven, and everything outside represents the realm of hell, even though you will say it's Egypt, but the truth of the matter is that we are dealing with the realm of rebellion against the interest and the government of God. There is a gate, and then there is a door. Of course, we have the veil and all the other things that are there, but we don't have time to look at it. But our interest this morning, this evening, is on this altar. Well, you might say it is elementary, and that we have passed this, but where we are now, we have not passed it. You know, because we are looking at the foundations. Now, at this altar, it's called the altar of brass or brazen altar. And you know, brass piece of judgment is a place of judgment. And what are you judging? You are judging hell. The soul, this is the way of escape for the soul. The soul is operating in the world. That's a very good English word. But the truth of the matter is that soul is born in darkness. You see, if you are not in light, you are in darkness. Adam sinned, and every other forebear, offspring of that first Adam, is born under the dominion of darkness. So the scripture says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother come. So now there's a principle in that. Remember, we're looking at Hebrews 6. We're looking at the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, when you talk about Christ, you are talking about an offering. Christ means the anointed, HaMashiach, the one that they have put oil on and anointed. So Christ is not an individual, it is a body, corporate, and then a head. So Christ is never alone, it's the head and the body in function, you know, in being addressed. And the soul, when someone is born, when a child is born, that child is born with certain demands. There is a demand of the devil for ownership and whatever it is on that child, on that soul. Now, the scripture says that concerning this world, he has not put it under the dispensation of man. Who has the dispensation of this world? Angels. And who is the head? It is the devil. He is a god, G-O-D, small letter, of this world. Now, we have to understand that. Brother was teaching us that yesterday. He says, I have the right. There's a right the devil has. And it is a God-respected right. And you see, we cannot be like Saul, who went to war without understanding the principles of warfare. A man made a covenant, you go and kill the man. That's it. God is going not going to back you. God backed those Gibeonites. And the source of Saul had to go for it. And you say, how could God do that? Yes, because he is a covenant-keeping God. So when a child is born, that soul is born with a contention on it. It's born into the realm of darkness. And the only way for salvation is to bring that child into the kingdom of God. So that's why I said that there are, that in fact, when God was sending Paul, he said, go to the Gentiles. By the way, if you look at the word translated Gentile, it means ethnos, the tribes, the races. So he's talking about the different peoples of the world. Now he said, go to them and do what? Open their eyes. And then to do what? When he went to Ephesus, for instance, they were not all blind, were they? But he was speaking of something in the soul. He was talking about his spiritual condition. And they say, then translated from the kingdom of darkness into light. So that is what we are looking at. That we are looking at the kingdom of darkness. And then there is the kingdom of light. Now, where is the kingdom of darkness in this world? Is there a particular geographical location in the earth? It says this area is darkness. Then these other ones are light. Is there any such place? So light and darkness are intermingled. You like Brother Dave was saying, as you anywhere you go to your office, at home, anywhere, you are in contact with darkness. And you can very easily move over. You can very easily move from darkness, from light. Now, of course, you know the government of the outer court that when it is 6 p.m., something changes here. What is it? The darkness begins to have dominion on the outer court. So the Bible says that hell has enlarged its borders. So cancer is having a manifestation in the church. HIV is having manifestation in the church. All those things that are in the world are necessarily, and they will come. The Bible said that the court that is outside, do not measure it. Because it's going to be overrun. It's going to be overshadowed by the Gentiles, by darkness. So, therefore, the only way to deal with that soul. Remember, the soul even has, this is the destination of the soul here. Yeah. But to even get here, we're not even talking about it. That soul, first of all, must come to a place of judgment. And that's why you have this altar of brass. And it is a place of blood. Now, blood covenant. Now, Leviticus 17:11 says, that it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Because I have given the blood upon the altar to atone for the soul. Now, when you say atonement, it means to cover. It is something that speaks. It's the same word used when God put Noah into the ark and it will cover it. That word used is the same Hebrew word that is translated atonement. It's the word kafa, it means to cover. The blood has the ability to cast a covering, to appease the wrath of God, and to admit that person into a place of fellowship with God. But I have drawn this because this is the tabernacle of Moses. It is a basis for us. Now, there's another tabernacle which Governor spoke of. That of David. Now, this was a prophetic. It was a prophetic tabernacle that had only the ark. It was one of due time, when the glory of God, if you came in, there were no barriers. You could have direct access, direct fellowship with the light and the glory of God. But this was in the Old Testament. And God says, I will raise again the tabernacle of David that has fallen down. So in other words, it was prophetic. It was speaking of something. But there is a real tabernacle, which is actually where we're going to. I learned this from Brother Seth. He will draw it this way. That is the tabernacle of man. That is the tabernacle of man. This is the Father. This is the Son. And this is the Holy Ghost. And then this is the spirit of man. So this has fellowship. The spirit of God bears witness with our own spirit. Then you have the soul here. And I have put an addition now in the drawing. 1, 2, 3, 4. So this is the mind or the ego. This is the lion or the emotion. This is the calf or the will. And then this is the humanity. Okay, and it's the desire. And all of them function together at the heart. And then of course, then this is the body. So this is the temple of man. The only one you have in the whole universe. None is like it. Now, this is a real temple that God, the real tabernacle God is pitching. Now, take to notice. Now, even the physical old tabernacle, the only thing that inaugurated it was blood. There had to be blood. When the person comes, he had to come to that brazen altar. It was the blood of an animal. But the Bible says that there was one that was slain from the foundation of the world. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, why I'm going this way is that many of us are under pressure of ancestry or blood covenant or whatever it speaks. But you see, there is a foundation. And the Bible says, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word. Now, the blood of Jesus is an ancestral spirit. There's no reaction. So am I correct? Or is it a heresy? Now, since you have accepted that, I can go further. The blood of Jesus is the oldest ancestral spirit. It is more ancestral than the spirit you are contending with. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? You're not quite convinced. Because what you are saying is like, this thing is very strong, girl. And this brother, I say, this blood of Jesus I've been talking about, and nothing has happened. But something is going to happen this night. He didn't say amen.
Amen.
So your expectation is not strong. But Kotugumbo said, we are going for a deliverance service, you know, so. So I thought that by now you'll be charged and everyone that you'll be shouting amen. Because let me give you the secret. Please, can you show Matthew 8:16? Matthew 8:16. When God showed it to me, I knew half of my problem. In fact, most of it was solved. Matthew 8:16. Aha. Uh-huh. Please, I always like the Greek. Eh? Put the interlinear for me. Aha. Uh-huh. Say, and he ekbalo, he cast out this pneuma, the spirit, with his word, logos. Don't wait until you start praying to get deliverance. Hallelujah. When the word of God comes, if it is God, the spirit will run. Hallelujah. And that is the deliverance that stays, not the one that a man is saying, I pray, I bind you the spirit. The word of God brings deliverance, and that deliverance stays. You know why? The light of God, say, the entrance of thy word does what? Brings light. That light is the gatekeeper. It blocks the door. Hallelujah. There are doors that are open. If I had time to draw, for each dimension, for each nature of the soul, there are three other doors open. Hallelujah. So in the mind, you will have, this is will, this is emotion, this is desire. And then for each of these ones, you have three other doors open. It is exponential. Hallelujah. And that is what Ezekiel 42, from Ezekiel 42 down, it talks about that temple of Ezekiel. He's speaking about the temple of the soul. Which, in fact, I sat down one time to count. I could never count how many chambers. God says, stop. It's not necessary. Hallelujah. Now, in all these domains you have, there are spirits that have lodged themselves. And they say, we are not living this life. This is our house. Hallelujah. Because this soul was born in darkness. It is our right to inhabit it. This is our dwelling place. Now, where do I get that authority from? The Bible says that in Ezekiel and also in Isaiah, he says, I will ascend and I will sit over Zion, over the sites of the north. And what will I be doing there? I shall be like the Most High. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture says, I have chosen Zion as my dwelling place forever. But someone else also has desired Zion to also be his own dwelling place. Hallelujah. So when the children of Israel got into Canaan, it was a land that was habited. There were those nations, they were there. They were dwelling on the mountains, some were dwelling in the caves. They tunnel the ground and build. The Edomites, they will tunnel and dwell in the midst of the earth. And you know what the earth speaks of? The Bible said that the wise man will do what? He will build his house on the rock. That means he will break through the carnality until he touches that which is of the spirit. Hallelujah. So, we are looking at spirits that know us, that dwell in our flesh. And the spirit that dwells in the flesh is a very strong one. But there is an authority we have because the blood of Jesus was shed from the foundation. So when you are coming against the devil, it's not I cast you. You can't cast any spirit. You are speaking to the devil by only one authority. What is that authority? The blood that was shed. It's not because you are tall or you went to school, you have a PhD or English, or you do all this. Those things do not count. The only thing that counts is that blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Now, the point I was going to make was that the temple of Moses, that tabernacle of Moses, on the day Moses built it, what did he do? The Bible said that he took the blood of bulls and goats and sprinkled on it. Now, please answer the question. When he did that, did that temple become holy? Okay, only one person is answering. So she's removed from the equation. What is the answer? Be careful when you answer. Because in it is a trap for you. Did that temple become holy? Okay, yeah, somebody is saying no. Hallelujah. The temple was holy. Became holy. Hallelujah. Okay, somebody's quoting the scripture. In Hebrews. He said, if the ashes of the heifer and the blood of bulls could do what? Could sanctify that which was being brought. So I can even go and sit down because now you have entered the trap and with the Lord chakam. Because scripture says, if the blood of bulls and ashes, and the one they do in your village, hallelujah, if that blood could make a physical temple holy, then complete the sentence, say, how much more? With that blood, make holy. Which temple? It's not the temple of Moses. This temple. Do you understand? The blood of Jesus will make this one eternally holy. Amen. I don't feel an excitement. Hallelujah. Okay, I try to catch up. See, that's the principle of it. That is the principle of your dealing with the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why does it say that when you sin, you should pray and that your sins will be forgiven? You have not taken an animal to God. It's the blood. Hallelujah. You stay somewhere in one room and say, Jesus, I forgive you. You are speaking words. Do you think of what you do? You are speaking words and you believe that your sins will be forgiven. You slap somebody, you kill somebody because you spoke some words. And you think automatically God forgives you. We are working on the principle of transference of authority, of representation. Hallelujah. That is blood sacrifice. Amen. So, if you understand that principle of that blood, so that the blood of Jesus speaks more than the blood of Abel. Blood speaks, I hope you know.
Yes.
It speaks. Say the blood of Abel, your brother, is crying out. Now, if you understand that, then we can now bring it for you to understand that blood sacrifice is not something you play with. You can't play with it. Hallelujah. Your life is in it. Yeah, it's life and death. It's a matter of life and death. Hallelujah. Now, because I don't have time, I'm not going to read the scripture, but let me give you a scripture. Abraham. What did God say to Abraham? You must come out from your country. You must come out from your ethnos, from your tribe. You must come out from your family. Three levels. How many people in this room have come out from nation, How many people have come out from tribe? And how many of us sitting in this room have come out from family? Hallelujah. Now, you say Abraham, I hope you know Abraham is not a Jewish man. I know, because that's the argument. Abraham is not an Israeli. Not even, even Iraq. He left that country the day he left the Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham is a spiritual man. He left. Hallelujah. And Bible said that I'll make you the father of many nations. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture says he is not a Jew that is one what? Outwardly. Hallelujah. But he's a Jew that has been circumcised in the inwardly. Hallelujah. So we're speaking of the soul. There must be a covenant in your soul. That's what makes you an Israelite of God. There must be blood. But for the people of God, we have counted family, tribe, nation of greater value than Christ. Hallelujah. And that is going to be the first point of repentance, of deliverance. Say, Lord, I have rejected you. He says some have rejected the Lord that bought them. Hallelujah. Is it in your Bible? Yes. Now, give you another scripture. He says, what communion? Okay, he says, come out from among them, and I will receive you. Now, and be you separate. Now, read it conversely. Remain among them, and I will reject you. Hallelujah. So you have a people that name themselves after the name of the Lord, but have rejected him in their hearts. Hallelujah. How can God go to war with such a people? They have rejected God in their hearts. And they say, Lord, come and fight for us. You know what they did? They carried the ark. The ark will fight for us. They carried the ark. God said, I will show you today. And before they knew what was happening, the ark was carried by the Philistines. And Eli, that priesthood of Eli, was ended that day. Hallelujah. Because God said, I'm going to raise a new priest. I'm telling you, there's a new priest in the house. His name is Samuel. Say, he will do all that is in the heart of the Lord. Now, what are we saying? Blood speaks at the time of marriage. I want to come home now. Blood speaks at the time of birth. Blood speaks at the time of burial. Those are the four main gates. The three main gates, the others, but those are the strong ones. And there's a fourth one. Blood speaks in the sweat. Hallelujah. Sweat is blood, isn't it not so? Say, from the sweat you will eat, isn't it not so? Yeah. Hallelujah. Money is sweat, and it's a covenant. Money is covenant. Hallelujah. How you eat is important. Where you walk is even more important. Now, I'm talking about covenant. Now, a covenant person is one that has made a blood sacrifice with God. Now, when you receive Jesus, you are receiving his blood, and he has taken unto you your own sins. It's an exchange of life. Hallelujah. That kind of person cannot go anywhere. You cannot say, there's a bond that comes into you. And with Abraham, God made a blood sacrifice. Abraham became a bonded person to God. Even physically, looking at it naturally, the Israelites, anyone mentioned by Israel, even till today, is still enjoying the benefit of the covenant. I went to Israel last October. So I went there, I have seen. And of course, many of us who have met the Jews, they are around us, they live around London. They are different. That tells you the covenant, how deep the covenant is. Anywhere they have gone, they have carried that little thing they have. Now, how about those who say we are superior to the Jews, physical Jews? We have no character. Now, let me tell you something. Christianity is a culture. I'm not talking about Jewish culture. In the Bible says when you go to poo-poo, you carry a paddle. You dig the ground and you poo-poo, you cover it. How to poo-poo is in the Bible. It's as small as that, as little and as definite as that. How much more all the things you want to talk of? Whether you have financial management, medical things. Now, the herbalogy, herbal medicine, they are taking it from the Bible. Genesis 1:27, God said, I have given you every herb for food. He didn't give God, Adam, animals to eat in Genesis. Go and read the Bible. And plant protein is better. Sister Sandra, you know so? That the plant, they know. Plant protein is better than animal protein. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. We're talking about covenant. Now, at the point of marriage, because it deals with blood, because marriage mirrors the joining of the soul with Christ. It's of importance. It's a place of blood. That's where life is battered and given and transmitted. And the devil is important. He's interested. And over the years, immediately a young brother and sister want to get married, they change. Hallelujah. Say amen now. They change. You fight. Because the sister has an image in her head, in her mind, the dress she wants to wear, how she will dance and all the things she will do. And do whatever you want. She has planned how to outwit all the brethren to make sure she brings her dream to pass. Hallelujah. Okay, they say it's my day. And all those things. Not to talk of at the point of having children. There are things, there are rites that go with having children. And the cultures have their own. But we in the Christian people have our own culture.
Yes.
Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. When you lay hands, you transfer authority. Yeah. You break the bloodline. Yeah. And you dedicate. There's only one dedication. And it is the dedication done in the church. That's what. Every other one, you are communing with spirits. I'll give you the scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Can you show it, please? Show 19. Okay. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idol is anything. But I say that the things with the... Can you show the Italians so we can see that Gentile? So you can see your village and my village. That the things which the ethnos... Can you touch the ethnos?
Verse 20.
Verse 20. Touch that. Blow it off. Let it come. No. That's touch on it. So that... Double click on it. Right? Uh-huh. Oh, okay. This one removes it. All right. It means a race.
Is there a tribe?
A tribe. A foreign, Gentile, hidden nation. Okay, go back. So this is where you see Igbo. And Hausa. And Nigeria. And America. Traditional marriage is both Western and African.
That's right.
I'm not talking about... There's no... It's all the same plate. Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said that the things that the angel sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Diamond. That is the familiar spirit my brother spoke of in the morning. Hallelujah. See, if there's anyone to protect tradition, I'm the one. My father was the head of 13 communities. And I was the first son. When I get to the village, they worship me now. My wife knows. If I step in that village, they start bowing and they see it. So I said, look, I don't want all that. When I wake up in the morning, the chiefs are there. I know everything about tradition. So what I'm telling you, I'm not telling you what I read in book. This is what I fought. My dad and myself were never in terms until the point when he was very ill and he got born again. I said, God, thank God, this man is not going back to the village. If he has to go to the village, you know what you have to do. And you know what happened. Hallelujah. Amen. Tradition is not what you play. When I was in London here, when they were going to crown him, ask my wife. She was in Nigeria. I saw some people come in the dream to attack me from the village. I called and said, what's going on? I said, they want to make your father crown him the king, the Eze. I said, very good. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is real. Real time. So, these spirits, they demand worship. And if you're not going to give it to them, they will frustrate you. They fight you into the ground. Hallelujah. Now, this is where the church has failed. Because there's a principle. One man does not fight tradition.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, people are not answering now.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
One man cannot fight tradition.
Yes.
Who will fight tradition?
The church.
But you know what the church does? You say, Brother Ike, have you fulfilled the traditions and the requirements of this before you marry this sister? So who is the minister? Who is the antichrist? Who is the false prophet? And they say the false prophet was cast into the lake of fire. I'm just quoting Bible for you. False prophet is not assemblies of God though. False prophet is the man who is anointed of God, who is bringing worship to the devil. That's the false prophet. And the greatest false prophet I know is the end time church. We talk about the Pentecost. Let's leave Pentecost alone. Talk about ourselves. Hallelujah. When we started first, the fire was strong. Come out of Babylon, it will burn in our bones. Okay, Brother Tux is shaking his head, he knows. Okay, you were there, you know. But how many times have you heard it thereafter? Hallelujah. And the younger ones, you don't know. So that's why we are trying to tell you so that you know. You know, when Brother Gary is here, his father was one of the people that started Full Gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 You are blessed, but you are not using their resources. You know, the day I met him, I tapped all the anointing I could. I've seen his father came to Nigeria and talked and wrote that book, Show the House to the House. These young people, have they seen the book? You have not seen. You see, there are depths. Hallelujah. And by the time Full Gospel came to Nigeria, God had already finished with it. Do you understand? He and a few others had already left that system. So some of us who are born in Zion, we are born into a system that the fire has already died. Do you understand? Now God is trying to start the fire again. Hallelujah. So please, you have to pardon me the way I'm speaking. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
But we're saying that blood sacrifice is not just when you take knife and you cut. It's not about an offering made. at the point of marriage, at the point of having children, at the point of burial, at the point of the work you are doing, your sweat. What are you giving your sweat and your labor to? Because he said that a priest will not sweat. It's not in your Bible. A priest does not sweat. Hallelujah. Because you know that your sweat. If I even say that for Aaron, say if your father dies, you don't cry. Say if your father dies, not even one wimp. Hallelujah. And of course, they read Leviticus 21:22. It's the law. And if that order, first 2 Corinthians 3 says, if that was the Old Testament, so that the glory of the new is more. Glory is not in blessing, it is in the consecration. So as much as the benefits are more in the new, so also are the requirements for the consecration that is upon us. Hallelujah. And then we want to make it light. And how are we bringing up our children? Now this one, I know it's a good no-go area. But how are we bringing up the children? How are the children being raised up? What principles are we teaching them? Hallelujah. Worldliness is bad worship. And as I was coming down the road, God said something to me. Now, this one, God said it to. Please don't be annoyed. I've been warning God. Say, why are we a Nigerian church? But has it worried you? Why are we a Nigerian church? Or an African church? And we are here in England. Have you asked God? Why? Well, today it appears I got an answer. I don't know. I want to tell you. God said, because we have not overcome the Nigerian spirit. So how will he now bring? Because the Lord said you must be first overcome in Jerusalem before you go and overcome in Judea. So you're not going to be able to deal with the English spirit when you have not first dealt with the Nigerian spirit. That's what he told me on the road. So I'm telling you, I don't know if it's correct. Hallelujah. You must overcome in Jerusalem first. Then he takes you. You overcome in Samaria. He takes you. You go. Now, when you are coming down in Gabon, what we meant to, you think you are landing in Port Harcourt.
Yes, sir.
But don't wait, he knows. When you're in the air, you think you are, if you make a mistake, you think you are right inside Warri.
Yes, sir.
God will take you to a neighboring country that have the same spirits. It is the same principle you use in Warri that you are going to use in Libreville. Because it's the same, they are the same similar spirits. So if you have not overcome at home, there's no point. Because that is going to be even a greater labor. Hallelujah. So brethren, what we're saying is that there has to be repentance. And that this whole thing is blood sacrifice. And you cannot allow any kind of blood to come upon your altar. Now, how is somebody born again? Someone is born again when the blood of Jesus is applied to the soul. That is what brings forgiveness, isn't it so? That is what brings covering. But you see, if that blood has been applied, you cannot bring and make another sacrifice also upon the same altar. It will bring a defilement. And this is what we'll be doing. So you come to church, while the brethren are talking one way, in your mind, you have already determined what you are going to do. And you know the style. You go out of fellowship, finish doing everything you want to do. After 6 months or 1 year, you come back. Yeah, because there's nothing anybody can do. Hallelujah. But those things we can no longer continue. So I'm believing that God is calling us to the place of repentance. There is a foundation. Say repentance from dead work. And those dead works are bringing sacrifices to demons. Familiar spirits. What about anger? Abraham told lies, isn't it so? Eh? What happened to his son? Told lies also. What happened to the grandson? Told lies. Hallelujah. David He ran away with another man's wife. Is it not so? What was it that happened to his own son? In fact, that one even got 1,000. Hallelujah. We thank God for Jesus. He was the son of David. And they smuggled some hot girls inside. And then they put video, and we are videoing everything to make sure. And he said that he was tempted at all points.
Oh, yes.
Yet without sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
Jesus broke that family line.
Oh, yes.
What I'm trying to tell you, there's good news.
Amen.
When we come into Christ, that the covenant is broken. See, the land will not be sold forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And the point of our prayer is the blood. But we said that blood has dissolved the middle wall of partition. If there's any wall of partition, that blood dissolves it. Hallelujah. Some of us, we may need to repent of the things we did during our marriage. I'm not forcing you, but I just want to share an experience with you. At the point when God began to speak, my wife and I had to stand before the church to repent of traditional marriage. And I'm telling you, from that point, I felt a release. Say amen now, hallelujah. I felt it in several points. Yeah, it was done in ignorance. But we say, well, ignorance, well, thank God. But the Bible said that God requires every man to repent. You didn't know of it, but it has happened. I said, Lord, I am sorry. Hallelujah. And then, you know, God brought a cleansing and, you know, quenched that thing that was speaking. And for those who are ahead, there are fellowships we are not paying dowry and all those things. It's not taken for granted. Initially, they said it was not possible. How could you get married without paying dowry? Now, let me tell you, there are four scriptures that talk about dowry. Four. Look through them. God never demanded them to do that in any situation, except one case where it was a punishment for rape. So that if a young man defies a damsel, he shall weigh out 50 shekels, piece of silver, as a dowry to the father. That's the only case in which it is prescribed. The other ones were done by Gentile people. Saul, who wanted to kill David, said, go and bring me 100 foreskins, that he might cause him to be slain, to fall before the Philistines. How do you get a man's foreskin without killing the man? The other one says, I will pay you. When he defied Diana, he said, I will pay you so and so and so. It was never demanded. Hallelujah. The one of, Jacob. Jacob said, because I love her, this is what I will do. It was never demanded. Wife capture. Wife. Those are hidden practices. You take the woman you like. You capture them. The rate of marriage has dropped now in UK. And it is at the lowest ebb. Why? Because you capture the woman you want, take her to your house. Whenever you are tired, she goes your way, you go your own way. That is the way they are doing now. And the British law supports it, is it not so? If you have a child out of wedlock, you will get a house, get a car, get everything, and you'll be pushing your pram around. Meanwhile, wickedness. Hallelujah. Marriage is not on the book. In fact, the people that are married are taxed. What is it they're trying to tell you? There's a spirit that's working. And it's coming against marriage. So if you want to do it right, anywhere you want, they're putting roadblocks everywhere. Hallelujah. So the word of God is very clear, brethren. We have a tradition. and it is a tradition of righteousness. When we went to Congo to preach, there is even worse. There's no straight family. There's no way by the time the girl is 13, 14, she has a child. And there we say, no more, you must. And now we have people getting married without paying dowry. So, if, that would say, if we will do his will, we will know of the doctrine. The question is, do you want to do God's will? If you have made up your mind to do God, God will help you to overcome and break the barrier. Hallelujah. And you see, then now there are families that say, look, we don't want these traditions. We just want our children to be happy. But first of all, the brethren themselves must stand up. And the onus is on the women. Hallelujah. So, and there are several other dimensions. So it's not as though anybody is putting in jail, but these are things that we must deal with if we want to have freedom and liberty in our marriages. So I believe that God wants us to pray. We have had the burden that we should pray for young couples and pray for the young people, amongst all things that need to be prayed for. And if you feel in your marriage you need to be prayed for, we will do that. Amen. If there are things that you feel you need to repent of, we'll also do so. And if you feel particularly that there are things speaking in your family that you know, Brother Hope was giving us the principle. There are things only you cannot pray about. You repent in secret, but you need to get the church to stand with you as a witness. So one will chase 1,000. What will two do? They chase 10,000. How much more the whole church? Hallelujah. So you repent, yes, but you need the church. And then you need to also lay all our hands. Hallelujah. That brings the authority and the covering of Christ upon that which you have done. Hallelujah. There are situations where, and it's some of us, you know, like God was showing that brother, he saw a serpent at the back. The serpent was quiet. The brother was having his fellowship, quietly enjoying praise worship. I mean, receiving from the Lord, ministering to the Lord. That is okay. And the devil is not going to disturb you for as long as you give him his place. Hallelujah. But if you want to touch the thing, then you must be ready for war. Hallelujah. And someone will say, if you are not at war when Israel go to war, then you are going to get into trouble. David got into trouble. And I'm telling you, there is war in heaven now. Hallelujah. You think what's happening in North Africa is a joke? Al-Qaeda is taking over. You better know it. Al-Qaeda. And the Bible says they're going to encircle Jerusalem. Already, by September, they're going to pass a law that Jerusalem must be divided from west and east. East Jerusalem must become the capital of Palestine. And I can tell you, it will never happen. There is no Jewish general that will sit with that. So what will be the result of that? Hallelujah. If you are wrong with the footmen and they wearied you, how will you go to God that is angry with you? Yes, you want to fight for God that is angry with you. It won't work. So that is said, when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction comes. Don't mind all this alignment they are having. Trouble is coming. And the church must be ready to be able to deal with it. And they're coming for you. All that you see in East Africa, I told them in Nigeria, now there is a bomb every day in Maiduguri. And they said, oh, we are very safe in the south. I said, wait. Nobody knew that would happen. It's all of a sudden, it is creeping up. So it's not to frighten you, but the reality is that there is danger. Nowhere is safe. When you get on the tube, please pray. Say, God, I'm going out today. Cover me. Don't ever say, oh, here is safe. Nowhere is safe. The day they will drop the bomb, when they dropped it last time, did you know? Hallelujah. So don't just say, well, I am safe. Don't take anything for granted. Hallelujah. And as I went to God, God showed me that my great-grandfather killed somebody. I said, very good. And I know what I'm fighting against. Yeah. Hallelujah. Some of us are just walking around, just going around. It's not as though you must go and look, but if you have challenges, if you have issues, then go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that's happening? He said, turn and look, and then you will begin to see things. Hallelujah. And if you are in that kind of situation, you want the church to pray for you, then we'll also pray. Bible said that the avenger, there's a principle. The avenger of blood has limitation. Hallelujah. A fellowship that is started not by God is a man-made fellowship. It's not a city of refuge. Say amen.
Amen.
People are too quiet though. What's going on? Hallelujah.
Amen.
A city of refuge. So that as long as the high priest is alive, the avenger of blood cannot come in. Hallelujah. And our own high priest is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. That is the authority you have. So if this fellowship is of God, then when the elder, because say that the elders and the congregation will judge the matter, and they will say, this man is free. The Bible says that the avenger of blood cannot come in to touch him. Hallelujah. But the principle is that when the man comes, he must tell his matter. Some of us will come in, we don't hide. If you hide, then you have not followed the principle. You must tell your matter. And then he said that the brethren will judge. And then they will give a judgment. They will make a pronunciation. He said that this man killed this man, yes, but he did not do it intentionally. So he is free. That brings a covering on the man. And the Bible said that he can live in that city. He can move around in that city. He will prosper. God will bless him for as long as he wants. But he must not leave the city. Hallelujah. You cannot go outside. You must walk within. Some of us think that we can just stay at home. Bible says, do not neglect the assembling of ourselves together. Hallelujah. How many people have walked for 3 miles of fellowship here? Because you're in London, you must enter tube and the bus. If you don't have money, you walk to fellowship. In Congo, we see people walk 6 miles to fellowship. They are the same people with you. Hallelujah. So you don't make a... I used to be in Ibadan. I used to go to fellowship in London every week. In Lagos. In Ibadan, I will enter bus and go. So there's a price to pay, brethren. That is the sacrifice. So geography cannot, it should not be a reason. Wherever you are, you find out where the brethren are and you are there because you want to stay under that city, that covering of the city of refuge. You need to tell your matter. The brethren need to know what's happening to you. So of course, we'll just say, if I tell them that, they'll go and broadcast it. I see your brother. Just tell your own. Do your own and go your way. Hallelujah. And Brother Hope was addressing it today. Even when you see such, as you begin to pray, God will begin to heal, bring integrity, even amongst those who are giving that information. That's part of the perfecting of the saints, isn't it also? Yes. Amen. Yes. The body is not perfect. You are not even perfect. You are not perfect, but you expect a perfect body, isn't it also? Hallelujah. So, yes. So, it's to encourage us, brethren, that God is bringing us to a place of deliverance. So I believe as we begin to pray, there may be situations in which the Lord may even have ministered to you that we have not been able to touch. But I can feel in my spirit that this is a night of deliverance. It's a night that God has determined to war on behalf of his people. And I can see so many things that God has put in place for that. Praise the Lord.
For the entrance of your word, brings light. Giving understanding unto the simple. Father, we receive from you, O God, this day the strength, the grace, the understanding. Detach ourselves from all these things that seek to entangle, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We bless you, Father. We thank you, Father. We give you glory.
They will call out. They will go.
In the name of Jesus.
Praise God. I think I'm praying for young people now. I said there will be an call.
It's the blood that cleanses me.
Oh, yeah.
It's the blood that gives me life. It's the blood that took my place in redeeming sacrifice. Washes me.
I'm trying to get the songs.